97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North Georgia. Time once again now for Community Focus, our public affairs program. And we go to the phones now because of the winter weather here. We talk to our friend
Representative Emory Donahue, who is getting ready for the Georgia General Assembly session starting on Monday. Hey there, Emory.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing, sir?
We're blessed. How about you over in Gillsville?
We are, too. It is snowing, and I have a feeling that in the next about 3 hours we'll be building some snowmen with the grandkids.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun from that standpoint. And then you get ready for the rail fun coming up on Monday.
I know. The circus is back in town.
And Emory's serving again. Well, this is your, 13th year?
This is actually my 14th year, and I had no desire to be here after 8. I was asked by quite a few people to please run, and I did, and I've ran again a few more times, but it's getting to where it's getting about long enough.
So he serves the very far eastern portion of Hall County and most of the Jackson County area. And so tell me about what you're looking forward to, buddy, buddy.
Well, we'll, you know, we go in, Mike, and a lot of people really don't realize, we'll go in Monday and we'll have everybody sworn in. So we'll have Mike Boggs, Supreme Court Justice, will swear us in. Then we'll have the pastor of the day, and we'll have a couple things and not do much, family kind of hanging out for a few hours. And then Tuesday we'll come back in, and we have to let the bills drop. That means people can start dropping bills, and they read them. And after they read them 2 days, then they basically assign the committees, and they'll start working on that process. We'll have the Supreme Court Boggs will speak to us Wednesday and give us kind of the overview of the judiciary area. And then we'll have the governor speak to us on Thursday, kind of given the agenda that he's planned. And then next week, Martin Luther King Day, will be off. We have appropriations Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. With that, we go in and we start listening to everybody from the governor to all the commissioners over defects, mental health, transportation. Every one of the commissioners come, Secretary of State, and they ask, here's what they say they need in the budget. So that's the next week. And then after that week, usually that's when we start rolling. They try to get bills in committee, and they start discussing bills, breaking down bills, and we move forward. I have several I'm hoping will pass and go to committee. We have the Equal Protection Act again. That's our pro-life 100% bill, where life starts at conception. And it's been sitting in Chairman Sharon Cooper's basically committee for 2 years. So hopefully we're going to get that out. We're working on putting the Ten Commandments in every school, and that gives the opportunity for teachers to put them up in their classrooms or to put them in the main entrance to the school. And there's several more. I'm looking at this terrible, terrible tax bill that we put in several years ago on vehicles, where you go buy a car, you have to pay this 7% tax. And with that, if you sell it 2 years, you got to pay 7% again. And if you sell it 2 years to another person, it's 7%, which is criminal. So I'm trying to work and open the door with that. If you're leasing a car, you don't pay it twice. And then eventually work toward, after you pay it, you should be done with it. But I think that's going to be an uphill battle, because no matter who it is, government likes to always have that extra money coming in.
We're talking with Representative Emory Donahue this morning here on Community Focus, our public affairs program. So the thing about it is, and I know you're a flat tax, fair tax type person, and you've seen how it works in other states. Why can't it work here?
You know, that's something, Mike, that is very disappointing. I enjoyed serving with Governor Deal. I really did, a good man. But however, the whole process with, you know, the fair tax, he ran on the fair tax. And in Congress, he supported the fair tax, and I was hoping we would get the fair tax through during his administration. However, they they keep running Georgia State does an analogy and says that it won't pay for itself, but they keep forgetting the tax government. See, in the fair tax, government is taxed for their spending. And you know how much government spends. That helps everything come together. And they haven't balanced it out, but we would be a whole lot better as Hall County has grown to over 213,000 people. The state of Georgia has grown. And when you look at it, it's going to continuously grow. That's a process that I keep telling people will work. And I wish we would do this in Hall County to start this and prove a point, is to take away property tax and then put a tax like splash on in Hall County of 4 cents or 4.5 cents. And people will say, well, that gets up there. No, you take away property tax from the people that pay always property tax, you allow everybody to come in and you put a penny and a half on education. You put a penny and a half on basically public utilities like the fire department, the sheriff's department, and you do it over 5 years and that money raised, you'll raise more money, and that way you're not penalizing our tax base, which you and I know, we're told if we vote for splash, it'll save us money on property tax. Well, I was for the splash and wish it had a pass because, as I said, everybody pays for it. However, the biggest problem is once they tell you to vote for it, you do vote for splash and pass it, then they go up on your taxes anyway. And these are things that we on both sides are a little confused with. We're blessed to have $16 billion in our rainy day fund. We still are the number one place to do business, which is great, and they voted us again. However, we bring a lot of industry in here from other liberal states, and they bring a lot of liberal employees. And with that, that's why Georgia is slowly, slowly working toward turning purple.
And that's the concern right there. First off, from the manufacturing commercial standpoint, is that, okay, so if we are looking at property taxes, and it's like the people who really are against the tax you're trying to talk about is that they don't pay property taxes, and so that's okay. Well, I'm being taxed more. Whereas forget about somebody who does own property like you and I. It's okay. Then you know, it's trying to benefit everybody instead of just hurting somebody.
That's right, and it's kind of making a level playing field that, you know, so many of us, every time we get our tax bill, it's higher, and people are calling me continuously. I passed 3 bills in Jackson County for senior citizens. And with it, nothing had been done in 30 years. And these senior citizens, I had to fight because, you know, people didn't want it. You know, I had people saying, well, you're going to cost us X amount of dollars. And I have to give Philip Brown a lot of credit for our superintendent in Jackson County. He realized it was something that needed to be done. And the path we have to look at in the next 5 years, Jackson County is the fastest growing county in the state and in the top 4 in the country. That's where your revenue will come in to make it up as we start growing Jackson County like Hall County with more business coming in, not warehouses, but businesses. And, you know, we've got to look at that because it's where we're taxing people out of house and home. If you and I make any kind of improvement to our property, there it goes. Tax goes up again, and it never comes down. And mostly these people on fixed incomes, they're the one that now their property value goes up. They're not making money. They're getting a little Social Security. And these are the ones I hear from all the time that's struggling.
Well, yeah, you're trying to wait to get to 70 years old here in Hall County and then have your school taxes taken away from you to be able to survive.
You're right, and, you know, Lane and I were talking last night on the way to the game. People don't realize 53, almost 54% of the whole budget in Georgia is education. And then our property taxes run anywhere from 61 to 64%. And when you put those together, when's enough's enough? I mean, you know, after a while, it's getting old because, as you said, 70, and they're trying to do away with that. They're trying, working around the corner to do away with this 70-year-old exemption because they feel like that's the people that have all the money, And you're penalizing the younger people if you exempt people that are 70, which to me is ridiculous. Forsyth County's 65. And, you know, we need to give the taxpayer a break. So as long as I'm there, I will fight that. In fact, I made a comment, if we have enough people try to do away with a 70-year-old exemption, I'll rent billboards. I'll spend money to make sure that we know who was the ones that brought it back. And when I say that, that's not being mean. It's just letting people know that if we're going to represent the people, we need to represent the people. And these are the ones that, you know, as we get older, they're the ones that don't need to be going back to work at 70, 75. You go in Walmart, you see a 78-year-old person at the door greeting you, and you'll see people that have already retired once, and they're still working. And the reason they're working is because, you know, they have to have more money coming in.
And that's if you want to own something. If you want to rent, and rent's hard enough right now. I had a question asked me recently, is that, you know, what's affordable housing in your mind when it comes here in the state of Georgia, here locally?
What I always tell them, give me the definition of affordable.
Exactly.
What affordable word that we break down is your definition and my definition is going to be a little bit separate or different than what we have to have. And what's really happened, Mike, is this. In 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, we had banks making big mistakes. These banks had loaned money out and kept loaning money out to builders. And the builders got to the point where they were building and building, and some of them were overbuilding, not selling properties like they should, so they struggled. Then what happened was the banks came back and started repossessing homes. When they started repossessing homes, they were taking them saying, well, we don't want to own homes. So now they had to change the market. The housing dropped big time. What created this is the same thing that's happening now on affordable housing. You had houses that were going $150,000 selling for $300,000, $300,000 houses selling for $600,000. Real estate was getting greedy. And with the proposition of real estate and builders, now there was a problem in our market. The problem now in our market, materials have gone up, and with this last 4 years of the administration, it's gone up inflation big time, and everybody's building that $150,000 house. Now it's costing $350,000 because the builders, they are making more money when they work, and they're paying more money, and here's the problem. That local guy that comes out, they can't find the affordable housing. So what they're trying to do in appropriations is appropriate money to go into the budget to help certain companies build houses at a cheaper price and contract maybe $150,000, $300,000, $1,000, depending on areas, houses. And with those houses, they can build them cheaper with assistance from government. Hopefully that won't happen because government shouldn't be helping private businesses like Rivian and some of the ones that we've helped. And that's where the problem's going to come in. But affordable is what? The definition is affordable. Well, I don't understand if I can I afford a $150,000 BMW or can I afford a $27,000 Yugo? And these are the problems that we have. And we use these words. I call them buzzwords, just like mental health. I understand the mental health process. I sit on that committee. However, that's the biggest word we hear now, mental health, mental health, mental health, where a lot of it is borderline mental health. So, you know, we've got a whole bunch of things to jump around on that we kind of, to me, we throw these buzzwords out a lot more than they should be, and that's all you hear about. This year, we're going to hear more about mental health, affordable housing, tort reform. We're going to have a lot of things that's going to come up that I think we do a good job. We have a good delegation in Hall and Jackson, but sometimes we agree to disagree. And when we do, that's okay because we can't all go down that same lane. But, you know, it's difficult when we go back to the fair tax to see that we can't get that into people's head to understand what we have now is broken. and we just keep throwing money at everything. For instance, I was talking this week down at the Capitol to a group of people. We need to put fathers back in the household.
Amen.
That means fathers need to show up. 80% of our good friends, our black neighbors, there's no father in the household. So what do? We throw more money at free stuff. And we can't keep doing that, but nobody called that out. And now what happens is everyone seems to say, well, hey, I want to make more money. I want to make $18 to flip hamburgers at McDonald's. And then they get mad because they don't have the benefits of a free meal or a free drink when they were working. Now they're going to have to be charged, and they still can't find enough people to work. So, you know, we've got a lot of things going on. Immigration, you know, that's something that hopefully we're going to look at pretty strong to, with Holman coming in the federal government, that he's going to tighten down, and we're going to start putting people back across the country. We're going to take care, and that starts at the state, because we have the right in the state to protect our state from illegals coming in here, not only taking jobs, but coming in here, committing crimes, coming in here, living off of money that the federal government has given them, and we can't even get money for our veterans. We can't get money for the people that need it, that have paid taxes every year since they work. I mean, there's so many things that is frustrating to me. And with that, I fight it and fight it. And, you know, I just sometimes walk away and throw my hands up, because I see we just don't want to cover those important things to me. And hopefully we will. Hopefully we will this year. We've got a great speaker. Speaker John Burns has done an excellent job. Burt Jones, Lieutenant Governor. I really believe he has done a great job. Problem is, we do need to have the media start picking up more of what our needs are and start talking about our needs. They don't talk about the things that we need to do. They talk about the things that they think we should do, and that's usually more government programs.
As of this morning on Community Focus, to Representative Emory Donahue, again, he represents the far eastern portion of Hall County and most of Jackson County, and the General Assembly begins on Monday. Tell me about one of the big bills that you're trying to introduce, Emory.
Well, there's a couple of bills that we're going to craft a little bit more. One's in the insurance industry. And with that, I'd rather wait till we
sure.
get around to our true title of what we're going to do. And we'll have to meet probably next week, at least a day on it, and then some during appropriations. But one of the main things is, of course, Ten Commandments, putting that in our school systems, and then coming back on the Equal Protection Act that I have there. That's the biggest thing that I've been pushing for 2 years. But before I leave office, we need to understand that murder is murder, and the unborn child has been murdered for so many years and has done nothing wrong. If there's a female that's pregnant and someone shoots her, she dies, the child dies, that person's charged for two murders. However, we allow women to go in and abort and murder the unborn child just because it's an inconvenience. And these are the things that it's time to take a stand. If we call ourselves conservative Republicans, that we do that, that we basically take a stand for what's right, not worry about the handful of people that are going to say, we'll run somebody against you. You will be beat because of your stand. We need to stand for what's right. And I have too many of my colleagues are scared to death that if they vote for something like this, somebody will run against them and somebody will beat them. That's wrong. We're here to do what's right for the people, and we're here to obey God's law, believe it or not. And a lot of people will argue that and say, well, no, we would have to put everybody in there if we put the Bible or God's law. No, this nation was founded on Christian principles, and we need to get back to the ground and the foundation of how this country and this state came about.
All right, so talk about this for a few moments, Emory, to wrap things up this morning. You mentioned immigration. How do you deal with the businesses in the state of Georgia, even here locally, so I got to have illegal aliens to, that's why I'll call them, illegal immigrants coming in, and because we can't get Americans to work, so we got to have this bill to do our jobs, and I'm talking about anywhere from, you know, local agriculture to the chicken plants, that kind of thing. So they said, well, you going to start taking away our workforce. You know, how do you deal with that?
You know, there, that's kind of slippery slope. However, the way I look at it, and I dealt in that industry for over 30 years in logistics. We hauled a lot of poultry all over the country, finished product, raw product. And what happens is, nobody wants to work. We have people that come in, well, I'm not going to do that job. Well, I'm not going to do this job. Well, I'm not going to do this job. I want this job. Well, you can't be an airline pilot if you can't fly a plane. You can't do this, be a doctor just because you want to. There are certain steps you have to take to get there. And the biggest problem with a lot of the way I look at it is in the poultry industry, if you bring in so many people that are not here, they're illegal, and you are caught, you should be fined a good bit of money, or you should be paying money to a lottery within your company that goes to pay back for that person being there, paying the county, paying whoever. There should be skin in the game. Instead, they keep bringing more and more people in. Even our construction crews, when you start looking around Hall County, most of our construction crews you see framers are Hispanics.
Yep.
That's great. I'm glad that we have a growing Hispanic community that is a hardworking community. However, there's so many of these illegals come in, and what happens? They start their own little business, or they work under these companies, and they don't pay taxes or insurance or anything on their businesses, and they hurt the Hispanic companies that are here legally growing their companies. There's so many things we overlook because basically the truth is our poultry industry, our agriculture, they can't get people to come out and pick crops when they only have so many days to pick them. And it's a tough decision to be made. I know Drew and them up at Jaymore, when they have to pick crops, they can't sit and look at them. Down in middle Georgia, I have farmers that have several thousand acres of cabbage, and you have to pick them. You've got to have almost like a locust coming through, picking, taking everything, loading it up, because you only have so many days to do it. So it's kind of a tough situation. I'm not throwing rocks at any of them, but there's something that needs to be done. I know they come in, and I watched them. You remember Wendell Couch, good friend. We were fishing down in Florida before the hurricane came through, and all of a sudden, here it is, man, I'm watching people by the hundreds walking by a little restaurant we're sitting in. Well, they were down there picking. These guys were from another country. They come in on like a green card. They stay here during the agriculture system. They go and travel and follow all around the beltline of Florida where these crops are, and they pick. Then they go back. They're held accountable, and that's something I think we need to be a little bit stronger on here in this country. And in even Georgia, we need to be stronger. If we bring them in, they are here so many days, they have to go back or they have to work on becoming legal. Too many of them don't want to be legal because they want to go back home, and they continuously send their money home that they make. So, you know, they're not really spending money on property taxes. They're not spending money on surviving through the state. They're just coming in and renting, I guess you could say, themselves by being paid by whoever to make sure that this, you know, process is only good for several months. And then a lot of them stay here for years, and I don't see how they make it for 5 or 6 years when they're not legal.
Hey, final thing for you. You know, you've seen how the last 4 years have been when it comes to working with the federal government, and I know there's that give and take when it comes to Georgia and working with the federal government. How do you think things are going to change now in the next 4 years with President Trump coming in?
You know, he's trying to, I tell people all the time, he is not perfect. He's not the savior. But however, he has had a strong plan. He came in the first 4 years and he took people's advice and he learned that a lot of these people were the problem. So he fired a lot of people. He made a lot of people mad because they had kickbacks. They were living on the country club off the taxpayer. And what happened is this time he's coming in and he's putting people in key positions to start looking at breaking down what's wrong with government. Elon Musk and Vic, I think, is great to come in here as billionaire businessmen to look at things and say, this can't work. We're going to have to do it this way, and we're going to cut a few trillion dollars out. But when we do that, we have to go back to the bills in the House and the Senate and say, if we pass a bill, I wish it was one bill, a standalone bill, and every one of those bills did one thing, not two things and 90 things added on that's not needed. We give away more money to other countries who hate us. According to Trump, he's going to put tariffs on. He's going to hold them accountable. And with that's what he did in the first 4 years. We didn't have ISIS. We didn't have all this stuff going on. And I hope we're going to play hardball. He already told Hamas that we are not going to mess around when I become in office. And the day one, you better have these captives that you're keeping, you better have them free. We're going to see how it is. And I really don't think they're going to wait until that day to release them. I think we're going to probably see something in the next couple of days, and I'm hoping so. But I think we're going to get back on with oil. Gas will come down. We're going to have groceries will be coming down. And you're going to see now the interest rates are going to come down too, so it's not going to be great investing your money. I was telling a guy yesterday when Carter was here, it'd be great. When Carter's here, we'd make 19% on the CD. Inflation was 21%. So there's so many things you look at that's going to come down. But I think it's going to really help this country become strong again.
When it comes to also what happened in the state of Georgia, what do you think is going to happen with Doug Collins if he becomes the VA commissioner?
You know what? Doug has a good view, kind of a flyover, but he's also been on the ground a good bit. He's been in reserve for many years, and I think he's going to do a good job. And I think basically that Trump trust him. That's why he put him there, and it's going to be interesting. But a lot of people don't realize that's one of the most dangerous jobs there is. And, I mean, in your spare time, Google it. You'll figure out a lot of the things, how dangerous that job is compared to a lot of these jobs are dangerous, and the media never talks about, you know, what you're doing and, you know, all the traveling and the decisions you're making. And it's almost as bad as the mail department with people that come in and they've had a bad day, you know. But I think he's going to do a good job.
But you see a lot of problems, especially in your district, you know, with veterans and what they've had to go through.
Oh, I know it. I know. And you know what? I sit on that committee. We have changed commissioners almost every year. This lady with us now has been there. This will be her third year, and she's working trying to get things changed. But we need to look at Florida's plan. We need to come in where they have gotten stronger than us on their veterans, and we need to kind of look at their plan and try to really make it to where our veterans should be our number one. I've said this, a veteran in good standing should have a driver's license or identification license that has a stamp on it that they go and have free medical treatment anywhere they go. Should be no cost for them because they gave it all. And that's something we should be looking at. We have illegals coming across here, Mike. They're put up in hell, and it's a sad, sad day.
You know, I spoke with Nathan Deal back when he was representative up in Congress about that very thing. And it's like, I don't even really see the need for VA hospitals when any veteran should be able to go to any hospital in the state of Georgia and get health care.
Yes, and see, the problem is we give them very little in the budget to make them successful, while our nonprofit hospital is growing more and more money, getting bigger and bigger, building all the time. We need to turn that around a little bit to where, as I said, any veteran in good standings has the opportunity to go to any hospital and we take care of them because they deserve it. And that means if we have to do away with the veteran hospitals, do away with them. If you're not going to run them properly, let all the hospitals have to take on, as some would call a burden, but let all the hospitals and all the best doctors have to see these veterans and take care of them. And until we get to that, we're going to have veterans that basically are committing suicide. They're having so many problems because of what they've seen while they serve, And that's a growing problem that we have that you don't ever see the media talk about, Mike.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're with us here. We'll be talking to you later on as we get ready for another session with the General Assembly, which begins on Monday. As always, our thanks to Emory Donahue joining us here on 97.5 Glory FM. Have a great day, friend. We'll talk soon, okay?
Take care. Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it very much. We got much more for you coming up next here on 97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North Georgia. That is Community Focus for this Friday morning.